The following podcast complies with the Section 107 of the Copyright Act of Fair Use. Please do not send hate to anyone that's mentioned on this podcast. Everything that is said here is all my own opinion and should not be alleged as a fact unless the receipts are proven, which they normally are. Please sit back and listen and enjoy the show. Hello, peeps, tweets, and everyone around. This is me, the one and only, Dini Darcell, and welcome to the Dini Darcell Experience. We are on episode 2, but this episode is going to be actually 2/3. It's going to be broken down because I'm only going to spend a little bit time to talk about today's topics, mostly being the one that you're listening to, which is diversity. What is it? Clearly, as we have saw in the last couple of days, diversity does not really stand or is strong enough within the wrestling community. We're going to talk about that in a moment because it's a continuation from episode 1 of Big Swole's Comments. As well as, we're also going to touch a little bit on WWE and their constant rush booking. Again, diversity. So, where do we go? Okay, so if you've been under a rock before we had went into 2022, then you may have missed the whole catastrophe of Tony Khan's ill-fated tweet and yet public apology that he has not given. Baby, believe you and me when I tell you this, this is ridiculous, this is still sad. People are upset because people are trying to hold this man accountable for that tweet. You are a person of color. You should understand the ins and outs of what certain things may come off as offensive, especially to another person that could have been kitchen table talk. That did not have to be a public grand gesture to dick swing pretty much to say, okay, I don't like what you said, this, that, whatever. A lot of people that are reasonable people understand, okay, yes, he has every right to defend his company and himself, but the tweet was still disrespectful. To where most people, call it what you want, say it how you want to say it. What Swole said, diversity. Yes, it is an issue. It's always been an issue. A lot of people who feel as though it's not an issue are probably the same ones that be quick to tell you, trust the process, because that's their favorite thing, because they're so conditioned to accepting BS. Personally speaking, I said what I said on that pod, first one, and I stick by it. There's no changing with it. But a lot has changed, and a lot has come out. You had Sean Dean say what he had to say. People came at him terribly. And I've seen a couple of Sean Dean matches. I think I may be mispronouncing his name. It shows you I really don't care too much about the wrestler. But I respect his input on what he had said. Is what it is. One person who I did not respect for what they stated, mostly because they tried to take a jab, was Powerhouse Hobbs. It's amazing that AEW was there during the time when you lost your mom and you was going through all that stuff, and he put you in marquee, I would say, spots. But where have you been at lately, my guy? You was built to be this whole massive powerhouse. But yet I have not seen you on my television screen. Like, I even will look at, like, Dark and Elevation just to see, like, the lineups. I hardly seen him. So where is Hobbs? You too busy, one of those saying trust the process, but yet the process has not been kind to you so far. Hook debuted. Hook is a phenomenal wrestler so far with a bright future because he's in the match with good people who make him look like $1 million. I'm seeing more of Hook than I'm seeing of you. Make it make sense. Then you had Leo Rush. I love Leo so much. Mostly because it's a DMV thing. You know, I support anybody from my area growing up. I even support people from here, from Hampton Roads. Mostly because of the fact of I live here. I'm a support because I like seeing people move and do and become bigger and better things. That tweet came out. Leo said what he had to say. He wanted Tony Khan to apologize. Only in the eyes of some, Pussyfoot backtracked and said, I had a conversation with Tony and Mega. You would expect me to know this woman's name by now. I'm not. I apologize if I mispronounce the name, but it does not compute with me trying to process it from how I see it. It may not be the correct way of the punctuation. I do apologize. However, he said he spoke to them and he understood their side and he's glad that he can work with an owner and a boss who is willing to listen to their talent. Okay. Tony may have listened, but let's be real. He may have actually taken it all in, or it may have gone in through one ear, out through the other. We don't really know. Then you have, because I heard so many people keep talking about this, about the whole, oh, this is going to put a blemish on Jade, and she's supposed to be winning the championship. Everyone's making this assumption that she's going to win. There's no guarantee that she may win. You have to remember, all of this has been pre-scripted, pre-booked. Things can change at the drop of a dime, as we saw in good old WWE. There's no guarantee that she may win tonight. If she wins, yes, wonderful, I'm here for it. However, it's going to have that stigma of, oh, they probably did it because of the simple fact of Swole's comments. If Swole's comments have that much of an impact, as we clearly see it did, because Tony Khan was so upset that he had to tweet and try to throw a dab and a nice little sharp knife at Swole with that statement, when knowing dang well in that match you had two people who are terrible as all outdoors. I heard that match was magnificent, but then two, the people who I mostly read the comments from about that match were the same ones that was bashing Swole and the same ones that have issues with black wrestlers, so their input really doesn't matter to me too tough, because most of them be simping over these women knowing dang well they can't get them. Is what it is. So I'm saying all of this because now it's going to tie into a WWE. We had day one was I had already told myself that was going to be the last WWE thing or wrestling event I was going to look at, because I need time to really figure out what would be the best move for me going forward as a fan, and if I want this podcast to continue to be a wrestling podcast. Because I may just say this is a commentary podcast altogether. I speak about everything. I'm still at that fork in the road because of the fact of how many times as a fan do you have to keep watching something before you start to be like, okay, I'm not seeing no real representation. Like AEW happened because you had all these black wrestlers that I saw. Because I'm going to be honest, the Bucks, it wasn't until I started watching AEW heavy that they did it for me. Same with Hangman Page, because I've seen a couple of matches of theirs with New Japan, but New Japan, I was in and out watching that because of where I lived at and when it showed up. And then with YouTube, my YouTube was mostly set up. It was either I still see Impact stuff and their clips, but it was mostly WWE. And I really wasn't trying to reach out and watch anything too much because I was conditioned. But the moment that JR came on there, I was like, bump it, I'm going to watch these matches because I love JR. JR can read a Dr. Seuss and I'll listen and watch it. Because it's JR. JR is my childhood. Just like the King. But the King got cringy when King came back. JR has his moments, but JR, childhood. Can't knock him for it. So I mostly was gravitated towards Swole, Nyla Rose, then you had Sunny. I saw three people. I already loved Brandy when she was Eden as an announcer for WWE. Loved her then. Loved Cody then. And I loved Cody's dad, the late, great, and the fabulous Plumber. I mispronounced it. I'm trying to get my words together. I'm, as you can tell, I'm kind of relaxed on this second part. Because the first one, I was drunk. I apologize again, you guys. I was drunk and everywhere over that one. But Cody's dad and Dustin's dad, good old Dream. So it's like, I was already sold on that. And then you had Jericho. And I followed Jericho when he was in WCW because he was the very first wrestler I actually got to see on TV. And then following him when he went to WWF, then WWE and all that. Even with his New Japan matches, I've glanced at them, but I wasn't really like watching. Because again, me and New Japan, I was like, okay, I'm watching this. It's nice. Something to fill my wrestling fix until, you know, WWE comes on. But then with the announcement of AEW, I was for it because I was like, okay, you again bought me on this dream of there's going to be diversity, there's going to be difference, there's going to be all of this stuff. You know, you can see yourself pretty much in this company. We are a family. We're going to take care of our wrestlers, just that, whatever. Cool. Copacetic, all right with it. Months passed. I was like, all right. I can see myself being a fan. I won't say a stand just yet, but a fan. Then pandemic hit. I was mostly AEW because I was like, okay, AEW is giving me these matches that I want to see. I like the pace of the matches. I love how it goes. It's pretty much what you can expect to happen at a wrestling event. You can expect it at an AEW show, pretty much. And then two of those lights out matches with Kenny and Jon Moxley. I love that. That was a good one. Oh my gosh. Double or Nothing solidified me as a fan with AEW because I was like, okay, I love this product. But then too, I was like, okay, but when am I going to start seeing, you know, little people? I'm one of those fans. I'm not going to lie. You may hate that I'm a fan like this, but this is how I operate. I like seeing myself or other nationalities holding titles because to me, it's like, okay, diversity. I'm here. I love it. WWE, that is something that they need to work on. And we're going to get onto that with, especially with the whole ending of day one. It took me back to SummerSlam and I was kind of upset because you know something's going to happen and you're already expecting it. You're just waiting for the outcome. And that's how I'm kind of waiting right now with AEW and my whole fork in the road with wrestling right now. Like something's going to come that was going to make me like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and divulge back into it. Like, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I took a break from wrestling before for 5 years. So, it's nothing to me. I would play the games and be like, okay, this is a cool wrestler. But I wouldn't know the product like that. So, playing the games, I'm kind of like, okay, getting a feel for it. I was out from it because I just was over it. And then I had a lot that was going on personally to where I was just like, I can't keep up with wrestling. I couldn't keep up with a lot of my stuff. I just had to focus on self. So, I won't say I'm too deep into that part just yet, but I'm slowly graduating towards like, I need to find out if this is right for me. Just like a new car. You want to make sure it's right for you. So, with the topic back at hand, seeing Scorpio be one of the first champions of color in that company, because can't nobody take that from him. I was ecstatic because I love Scorpio and I love SCU. And I was like, all right, I'm seeing two of my TNA favorites. And then you have Scorpio. And then they're all over here on AEW. I said, yay. I am still upset with the whole Frankie Kazarian and Daniels no longer being together. Because I really, truly believe that they should have gotten a title reign. But that's no here and there. I'm not going to vent on that. We're venting on diversity. So we're going to continue from there. So, but I'm upset. I am so upset. Because it would have been nice for them to have at least one good run with that title. So, after that, when it was the DC show, I thought Nyla was going to win in her hometown. I was like, okay, let us have this. Nyla didn't win. I was like, all right, cool. Rhea won. I said, all right. The whole match made me believe that Rhea is a strong enough threat against somebody who is twice her size. I was here looking at it like, Rhea is fast hitting. She runs. She's that Joshi wrestler that I can get behind and be like, okay, I love Rhea. I can get behind her story. I can go with this. You know, the title win made me believe that she is a great champ. Then Nyla got it. So I was like, okay, boom. Two women of diverse backgrounds holding this title. Love to see it. After Nyla lost that belt, I was like, okay. Britt, I give props where props is due. Britt, yes, she has improved. A hell of a lot. We all knew she was going to become champion. Because Cardo Shida, and I don't like the fact that, I think I mispronounced her name. I do apologize with Hikaru. A lot of people don't give her props because her, Drew, Asuka, to me, they were like the real MVPs. Even Bobby Lashley a little bit, but they were coming towards out of the Thunderdome around that time. But they really, in my honest opinion, were the MVPs of the whole COVID wrestling. Because they made me, like, I literally sat there. It was like, Hikaru, during that whole entire, her title reign was during a whole entire pandemic. Same with Drew's. I have so much respect for them. And with Hikaru, she's in a whole different league of her own. A whole different league. So, her title reign, I hold it different most of the others because pandemic is the pandemic. She deserves every accolade that comes her way. And I love the whole thing of how they're having her and Serena Deeb still having this long invested storyline. I'm here. Just like I know when the payoff is going to come when Thunder Rosa beats Britt for that title. The long storytelling. I was here for it. I'm here at least for how AEW does it when they do their storylines. They leave it to where we may think it's done, but then two, they kind of rehash it a little to where the fans are still like, okay, so this is still going on, but it's not the primary focus. And for this is where Rampage needs to be brought into, because Rampage, to me, if it's going to be the glorified big brother of network television's Dark or Dark Elevation, they need to start doing some consistency all around with that. Because it's pointless at this point to where you just have it and it's just there to be there. And, you know, the numbers don't lie. People are starting to have a disconnect with it because it's like, what is Rampage's purpose? Outside of when CM Punk debuted on there, that was it. Like, Rampage, I don't want to say it jumped its own shark, but the cart was ahead of the horse too many times. So, jumping from that, with me with this podcast, I move around because of how my mind jumps. It's part of having ADHD. I apologize, you guys. I'm going to try to make sure everything comes together with it. So, we go and we look over with AEW. Diversity is an issue. It is an issue. But I would give them more props compared to WWE because AEW will at least show you. Like, yeah, these are our diverse wrestlers and this and that. We know how to operate. But for some people, it's kind of hard when you have to remember. Most of the wrestlers have been fans of either WWE for the longest or of other organizations. You have some who are borderline racist. They don't like seeing diversity. They don't even like seeing LGBT or trans inclusivity being inside their wrestling. Because to them, it's an issue. Jim Cornette. But that's nor here or there. And so you have that. Then on top of that whole mess, you have a lot of confusion. Because I would have at least thought, okay, I would give them props for having the long title reigns for their main championship. But in my honest opinion, you could have around that time, you could have built up Hobbs to where he could have been up here going for these titles. You could have had Scorpio. He should have had a singles title run. You have Jay Lethal now. I don't want him to be no mid-tier wrestler in there. He should not be going just for the TNA title. He needs to be going for, TNT title. He needs to go for that world championship title. Because there's been all this talk, especially when Brian had came about, oh, yeah, Brian's going to be the one to get the title from off of Hangman Page. We'll see. Can't make no guarantees, but we'll see. I think more so with a lot of people who are wrestling fans, you mostly watch it because you like to the storytelling, the character progression, and you like to see yourself on the television, at least. I can say yes, with AEW, you are going to see probably more of people that are your skin color on the program, but you probably won't see an influx of them as champions, possibly. Like, they're trying to get there, but then too, it's kind of like, I don't want to bash them too tough, because I felt like I did enough on that on the first podcast. Mostly at Tony Khan, because of the simple fact his statements were so tone deaf, and to me, it still feels tone deaf. Like, yes, I have my issues with Vince McMahon as a fan, but the thing with Vince, I didn't really notice more so until I got older, is that the man is senile as hell. Like, he is crazy. Really, really crazy. And then when you get older and you start to, like, watch it more, and you start to see the progression of how this person who you remember, it was like, okay, he was cool, he had his moments, and now you're seeing, like, as you get older and you're hearing, like, all of the backstage stories and all this stuff, you're really sitting there like, Vince is batshit crazy. A lot of stuff didn't know until you got older. Being the age I am now and seeing AEW from the ground up, it's kind of like, okay, you should really look at history and try not to repeat it. Because certain moves that you're making is repetitive. Like, there was a time during the pandemic era, a lot of people was up there saying that, you know, it was giving them WCW vibes. A lot of people still say to this day AEW is giving them WCW vibes. You know, it comes with the territory, but the difference that you can make yourself differentiate between them, outside of buying people that left that company, is you need to have more diverse. And then two, you only mentioned you and Meha. What about Brandy? Because isn't she your chief branding officer? So she doesn't count as this person of color that you have that's up there at a superior level. Like, I have never seen so many fans get upset, and it's a problem because it's like when a black woman wants to speak up and say her issues, you always have, it's not a lot, but you always have either ignorant racist white folk or ignorant black men or black people in general, but mostly sometimes black men that try to deteriorate and diminish what the woman has to say. Swo said her piece was not negative for her to get all of this backlash. You got people up here wishing this woman dead, all because of what she said. I treat the wrestling fans like I used to treat the stan community within the gay community when it came to these pop stars, Beyonce, Rihanna, Gaga, Madonna, Janet, all of that. If you, because I'm a Beyonce fan through and through, stan member, I have the card. Honey, you can't call yourself a stan or a fan if you can't call out the particular thing that you love. Me coming at Tony Khan And with what I said, was and even with this, is mostly because of the simple fact I have faith in AEW and I love the product. But you cannot come out your mouth sideways and say what the hell you said. Because that's going to make a lot of people really eye you heavy, like, okay, especially in the black community, because what she had said, it is a point. Because I even tried to stick up for Brandi on Twitter with the whole comment line that she made. It was cringy as all outdoors. However, what I'm not going to want to do is for somebody who is a meme page of somebody who has not helped the black community as much as they try to perpetrate as, trying to deteriorate and diminish another black person. I'm not here for it. I don't like it. That goes back to some of the things that people have may have said, okay, but you appear so big for Swole, but what about the comment that she made about Jade? That was an ill-made comment too. As a black person, you would want to see other black people strive and do better. You never want to have the whole pick-me spirit. And that's for anybody, really. Because if you truly care about somebody and you truly care about something, if somebody has something to say, you take it, you let it sit, you go through your motions of how long it may take you, and then you touch bases with that person and try to see, okay, this is what we can do to improve and do better. It is 2022. I do not want to hear nobody say anything about no trusting, no process. That should be out the door. That should be dead with a lot of things in 2021. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. Anytime I hear anybody say that, I roll my eyes and I'd be like, okay, you're one of those that like to be spoon-fed and told the sky is red when it's actually blue. The grass is white when it's actually green. I could probably sell you a good old condo in Antarctica because you're probably going to accept it and buy it. Because you bought into already the fictitious BS that most of these companies, organizations, people, however, have been feeding you. And that's a huge problem. All I have to say is 2022 TonyCon, do better with not letting your emotions get the best of you. AEW needs a PR team and a crisis management team. AEW can look like the UN, but it needs to start reflecting with the championships too. Going with WWE and their diversity, baby, that's like beating on a dead body after a couple of times with a stick. Day one. Pay-per-view was nice until the ending, because again, you already know something's about to happen. You're just waiting for it. The tag team match between the Profits and RK-Bro, phenomenal match. I loved it. Orton is officially a goat. He's a double goat. He's past his goat status. I want Randy to wrestle as long as he can. That man, that match. Oh my gosh. Now, either way you could have had it, it could have been either the Profits and RK-Bro or the Mysterios and RK-Bro. And it was still probably giving the same feeling that I feel right now. Accomplishment. Like that match. I like how the payoff that they had it with it. But then too, it was kind of like, okay. And then seeing the Migos on it, that was kind of cool, you know, because they were in Atlanta, but that was nice. Because there's only a couple of matches that really stuck out to me. So I was like, okay, I can get with this. The Liv and Becky Lynch match. Liv is a star now and should be treated as such. She kind of gives me the Normani effect. Like she was a solo in her right, but then when she was with the Riot Squad, you could see the potential. That's another group that the ball was dropped on, because they should have at least held the title, whether it was either Sarah and Liv or Sarah and Ruby. That title, they should have held on to it, and they were robbed humongously. WWE steady drops the ball. I don't understand at this point, because to me it's like the women's tag titles are just glorified workhorse titles at this point. They just mesh two women together and be like, this is going to work. Like, I miss the continuity of having two people who start off as solos, or they may have known, I've seen your work before, let's be teammates and see how this works. But over time, they build and they become and form these bonds. And then the attire matches. Sometimes they have the same entrance together. Like, the Golden Role Models was a moment during the pandemic. If you don't know, you need to know. Your role model, Miss Bailey, and your standard, the blueprint, Miss Sasha Banks, they did it. Did the damn thing. I need for Liv, because I've looked at the clip, because I was not going to sit there and watch no Raw for no 3 hours. I didn't even watch NXT. I saw the little thing. I was not on Twitter. Once it popped up on YouTube and I saw the clip and I saw a little of like the little steel thing, because we all have YouTube, so you know if you're up there scrolling for something but you keep it on something for so long, it starts to play, autoplay the video. So I saw a little bit of it and I was like, okay, I see Bianca, I see Liv, I see Becky. That would be a good match. And then I'm seeing that Doudrop is being added into the equation. So that right there is a nice combustible element. Now, I know Bianca wants to win the Royal Rumble back to back. Depending on how WWE does it, if she doesn't win, let Liv win that Rumble. Liv needs title. She needs a title around her belt. As much as I love Bianca, I like how they're having this with her. Like, okay, she's the star. She is a star. But she's up here, you know, elevating other people with her. I love it. Love it so much. It would be nice to see her, you know, because she could make history. Only woman who's main evented and won. Main event at Mania and won twice. That would be nice. Because I can see how they can do it. Okay, you have her and Becky, both of them main evented. Both of them going for a title. Both of them could either be Mania two-time. Or what? So, you know, there's endless possibilities with that. And then two, we got the Rumble, but you also got, I hope they bring back the Elimination Chamber in between the Rumble, because that would be nice. That would be a good thing too, especially with all the different combustible elements with that one. I'm sorry, I was not on the Liv hype train when she was in NXT. I boarded the train here and there for the Riot Squad. And then when they completely broke up, I was like, I'm off this train. I'm not getting back on it. And then when WWE tried to make Liv and Ruby it back together again, I said, you're not going to tease and play up my emotions, because I know the other shoe's going to drop soon. And we saw that other shoe dropped when they didn't win the title. And then they released Ruby altogether. So it's just like, you're not going to keep playing up my emotions. Well, not going to happen. Not at all. I'm not here for it. Screw you, Vince. Not gonna happen. So, seeing as though now, and I'm glad it was with Becky. I'm sorry, that match still just has me like, it was so astonishing. Like, Liv, I see the hype. I'm on the train. I just don't want WWE to crash it. Like they've been doing. I'm tired of putting my life onto these trains that WWE has with these stars. And it's just boom. I will say too that I've noticed a lot too. Maybe it's just me looking at things. But day one did give me a sense of a restart that they were trying to do. But it felt more like, okay, we saw a little bit of what AEW does with their wrestlers. And they're sitting there talking and this, that. But sometimes with their struggles or how they got into this industry and how they made it. Okay, we're going to do it here too. It was cute. But then I was like, most of these people that you're talking about, we've already known and seen their rise. Like Seth and seeing Bianca and seeing Big E. Like, we've already seen them. It would have been nice to know more. you know, especially for the fans who probably don't know, like, Zelina. A lot of people don't know that she was with TNA before, and she was a champion over there. A lot of people don't know that. That would have been nice to at least elaborate, like, yeah, she's held championships in other companies, or more, learn more about her, learn more about who they have on. Dana Brooke don't get a lot of shine, outside of they're putting her in these mixed tag matches, and I do not like it. Like, Dana could have been something. They dropped the ball with her. I guess that 24/7 title, I don't like it. They need to get rid of it altogether, because at this point, it's just pointless to have it. Tamina is now back down chasing after that mess, and it doesn't do justice, because you had this woman be on a tag team with Natty, and they were amazing, only to drop the title. Like, there's a lot that I need for WWE to really look at outside of the diversity thing, because we're going to get to the big thing, how it all comes together with diversity. What they dropped the ball was mostly with how, and I've kind of made a mention of it to a couple of friends who watch wrestling. A lot of them don't, but I had mentioned it. Like, I'm going to use this, for example, with the Big E, not the Big E, with the Bobby Lashley and Goldberg match that they had at WrestleMania. Nope, it was Drew. Excuse me. I'm thinking of SummerSlam. The one that they had of Drew and Bobby at good old WrestleMania. I knew something was up the moment when they didn't do his pyro and stuff, because I knew it was raining and all that other stuff, but it kind of threw off MVP for a moment, which kind of made me think that that must have been the code of, okay, Bobby's winning, because I wouldn't be surprised, especially with that, that's the first event that you had around fans, I wouldn't be surprised if they had everything done on the fly. So, like, especially when he had tapped it, so then it was kind of like, okay, he tapped his cane on the ground, no power or nothing. I felt like that was the code, like, okay, Bobby's gonna win. I still believe it. It may not be true, but I'm still believing. That's what I believe in my heart of hearts. That was the sign right there. Bobby was gonna win. Bobby won the title. Bobby had a successful title reign. Then, you know, E cashed in. Love to see it. Now, the same would have been nice. I completely lost my train of thought with the person I was supposed to be linking this whole thing up with. But yes, it would have been nice for Liv to have won that title, but I knew it wasn't going to happen, because they're trying to get lightning in the bottle again with Becky. And it's okay, but it was kind of like, I personally feel like her return has been lackluster in certain spots. Like, but that's just me. I believe it was lackluster. I'm still gonna say, like, certain things, like, her matches have been on point, but it's just the whole, like, she's this exuberant, cocky champion, and it's like, okay, can get behind it, but then too, it's like, I've seen it before. I've seen it a couple of times. Like, it reminds me a little bit, not trying to say it, but it reminds me a little bit of Charlotte here and there. And then now I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do with her whole title thing, because Toni Storm is gone, and then it's just like, who can you? Because I'm not going to lie, I like Sasha and Charlotte and their dynamic together, but I'm just not ready to see a whole feud of that just yet. Because they're both in different elements, I would say. But I like to see the others. Like, I really want Tamina. That's what I was thinking of Tamina. I'm going to bring it all back. They dropped the ball with Tamina when they heard that crowd, and the crowd was cheering for her and Natty to win, and they didn't. That, they dropped the ball on that one. Now, with the women's and SmackDown, because they don't really have that much, and it's like, outside of Sasha and Naomi, you have Zaya. That's like your baby faces. And Aaliyah. Where is Aaliyah? Like, after she had her big win in Norfolk, it was just like, alright, that's it. I guess because she was on the verge of throwing up, but you have to understand, that's like, this is big for her. So if they put her in the doghouse because she almost threw up on national television, that says a lot about Dunn, Vince, and co. Tamina needs to go back to SmackDown. She needs to... I wouldn't mind a bad reunion. Or her and Nettie need to just go ahead and go back and form their tag team again and go for the titles. That's how I personally think it should have. Then you had who else? Looking at these matches. I had the Sheamus and Ridge and Rosario and Cesaro and Ricochet match. It was alright. The Usos and New Day. There's not much you can say. That's pretty much a masterclass in tag team matching. Them and RK-Bro versus Street Profits. Those are just masterclasses right there. I like those. Drew and Riddick Moss. Yeah, it was alright. Edge and The Miz. Yes, please. And I want more. And we're getting more at the Rumble. You have to give Miz and Maurice their props because of the simple fact they've given us these intergender couples matches that we didn't really think could ever possibly happen in WWE. Because you had the It Couple versus then Nikki and John, then Brie and Daniel. Now we have Edge and Beth. Like, who's next? I would not mind seeing a Naomi and Jimmy versus the It Couple, or Bianca and Montez versus the It Couple. Like, I am here for it. Take my money, go for it. As long as they don't try to make Seth and Becky together on television again, because they completely made them. I love their relationship. I love them as a couple, but they made them so cringy when they were together. I said, oh, WWE dropped the ball on that one. Like, ugh. Like, my skin crawled on that. And then we go to the final match. You had Brock, Big E, Rollins. You had KO and Lashley. We all knew Brock was going to win. But it's disheartening when your champion takes the pin, especially a champion of color, especially when the conversation the day prior was diversity. Two different companies, but it's all within the same realm. WWE couldn't have been so more tone deaf on that end, and it just shows it was panic booking. And then you're hearing two different conflicting reports. Fox had released something that showed the match results, and it had Big E as the winner, but with Brock's picture. But then you have good old Melzner over here saying, no, it was actually supposed to have been Seth that was supposed to have gotten the pin on Big E because of the fact of he had COVID, and he beat it, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm up there like, if that's the reason of giving somebody a championship, how many times do we have to just give them the whole sigh? And there was even fans that were in attendance who had said on Twitter that the crowd literally groaned when Brock won. You had some people that were happy that he won, but the crowd literally groaned because of the simple fact. It was like, it's the same stuff. It is the same stuff. It would have been nice if he had, like, and he pinned the champion. It would have been nice if he had pinned, out of all those people, KO. Or Rollins. Could have pinned them. You know. Especially since they were the ones that was mostly giving him the business. It would have been cool. Like, okay. Got it all this. I pinned you. Boom. You having Big E take that pin reminds me of when Kofi had to take the pin. Only difference is one match was longer than the other. But both ill fate to the good old F5 with no kickouts. It only took one F5. And then both of them as champions were done. Kofi, a little bit of believable, you know, in a sense. Yes, it would have been more believable if Big E had kicked up and Brock did it again. Because then you would have made Big E look like, okay, yes, He was a fighting champion, but he went down strong. You pretty much had him look weak the moment that F5 hit and he took that pin. Diversity. And if we look at it in WWE right now, off the main roster, you only have really one person. Two people. Shinsuke. You have two people of a nationality that are holding your championships. Three, Damian Priest. I keep forgetting that about the United States title. That is sad. The United States title to me is, they don't build it up. These secondary titles, they don't even build up as much as they used to. Like, the Intercontinental Championship meant something. The United States Championship meant something. Now it's just, we're just going to throw it on them. Boom. How come they weren't at day one? It's understandable why Charlotte wasn't at day one, because, you know, you can't really continue a feud if the person's gone. Or even try to be like, let's whet their appetites and show a little backstage segment or something. You can't. It's like, you only have three people of diverse that are holding a title, but you're not showcasing them. Like, diversity is more than just having people of a color holding championships or something. It's also about pushing them and showing them. Like, Priest, lukewarm. Shinsuke, lukewarm. Zelina. That's another thing with these people, when they get these crowns, I'm so sick and tired of y'all doing this whole, let me speak with a British accent or a foreign accent and try to make people, you know, because I'm a queen. I hate that whole gimmick. That needs to go. Kofi and Xavier, it kind of reminds me of Booker a little bit when he was King Booker, and with the funny segments and stuff that he did. So I'm intrigued with it, but I'm over when they do the whole voice. The voice thing, it cringes me so badly. I'm just like, I don't want to see it nor hear it. I'm over it. Like, like, you need to let that go. But I just want, for 2022, more people, different shades, holding these titles instead of, and being marketed as top stars in all of these companies. Because I don't even keep up with Impact, so I don't even know what their theme look like right now at this moment. All I know is that the Inspiration is holding the title of the Women's Knockout Championships, and I'm happy for that, because they were royally screwed in WWE. But that's all I wanted to touch up on this. Let me know how you feel, thoughts, comments, concerns with this podcast and with this. The third episode will be up tonight. I'm actually going to divvy into something different. I'm going to do two reviews. One on Lone Star, since the new season started Monday. I'm going to do a review on that. And I'm also going to do a review on Abbott Elementary and / the... what is that other show that's on NBC? It's something Crew. I'm going to do reviews on those. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. This has been my lovely podcast. You lovely, lovely superstars and exquisitors out there. You guys be safe. Enjoy the rest of your day. I love you. Smooches. Boing.